Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma alhimna marashida umurina wa a'idhna min shururi anfusina. We have started the topic regarding becoming aware to the devil, the presence of the devil, the world of the shayateen that exists around us. We spoke about how when an animal also knows that there's a wild animal in sight, it will pay attention, it will look. The chance of that animal getting caught is much lesser than the one who doesn't even know it's being hunted. In the second part we spoke about that the beginning of this path towards Almighty Allah is with dua. For myself, for my family, for my children. Two duas were taught unique in Quran. One was at the beginning, one was at the ending. As though these two duas covered the whole story. The beginning dua was Ihdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim. That, O Allah, keep me on the path, take me on the path. And the second dua was Qul a'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul a'udhu bi Rabbil Nas. O Allah, enter me in your protection. He spoke, whilst you're on the path, then the fear is shaitan mustn't pull you out of the path. So you ask for protection, that the attack mustn't hit me. And if you're not on the path, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Whether it's a Jew, whether it's a Christian, whether it's a man who walked out with any other name, he doesn't, shaitan doesn't have to worry whether he's protected or not, because he's off the path. He himself will walk towards fast direction. So two duas, one is, O Allah, keep me on the path. And one was, while I'm on the path, let the attack not bang me and hit me. So that was number one, dua. In the acceptance of this dua, Allah Tabaruk Tala said, this Quran is that acceptance. The more you will read it, the more you will find your path. But when Allah Tabaruk Tala mentioned the Quran is yours, it's your acceptance of your dua, one condition was made, that this Quran will show the path, hudal lil muttaqin. It will show the path, but we need one quality. And it is a quality to work on. Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. That they bring this quality within them, and then this Quran will just show them the way in a unique manner. Two of these, alhamdulillah, to a great extent we got. One is إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ, that they perform salah. In the past, very few people would come to the masjid. Day by day, Allah Tabaruk Tala, it's making a change. People are realizing, I can't do without my fajr. I can't do without my zuhr. People are getting an allergy at work, they're looking at the clock. But it is something for those that are still weak in this. Wherever you are, whatever it may be, one poet said most beautifully, he said, Har fiza mein, that no matter where I am, O Allah, whether I'm on earth, whether I'm in the sky, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. That in any condition, I'm on the boat and I'm going for a cruise, but it doesn't mean my Islam left me. There also my salah is most important. Soon as I enter, I ask, where's the calendar? I take out my phone, see where is Qibla. I am not shy to perform my salah wherever I may be. And I worry about this. My Asr Salah must not go late into the Maghrib. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Salah of a hypocrite, he delays his Asr. When there's a little time left for the Maghrib Salah, he's quickly reading it. I will rather read my Asr a little earlier. But I must not delay it and say one time nicely, I'll read it when I go to the Masjid. My every Salah must come in place. And to a great extent, alhamdulillah, it's coming alive in the world. In Fajr, there's still weakness. The reason is that muscles. Alhamdulillah, in your country, I see a lot of jumps. Women jump, men jump. Inshallah, through the jump, maybe that extra muscle will come. That muscle is to lift that duvet, Fajr time. That duvet is the heaviest of all. When you're doing that pumps, duvet means that sheet, that blanket. So heavy, Fajr time, so heavy. So when you're doing that pump up, when you're doing that push-up, think about it. Can I get that thing? The day you get that, you are the strongest man in the world. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught about strength. He said, لَيْشَ شَدِيدُ بِالسُّرَعَةِ. The strong man is not the man who punches one and it's a knockout, it's a blow. He said, إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ إِنَّ الْغَدَبُ. He said, really the strong man, and put this as your target when you're doing that exercise. I must get that amount of muscle. He said, really the strong man is he who, when he's grabbed by anger, he is able to control himself. Normally my strength is used to control everybody else. I say, hey, don't enter here, I'll knock you out. But now we have to come to a level of strength where I have to tell myself, hey, I will stop you. He said, the man who can stop himself, he's really reached the level of strength what you're looking for. Stop yourself when your wife says something, can you control? And you just look at her and you turn the other way. When someone said something in your face, can you control? Remember, the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was bleeding. At the time while he was bleeding, he had been stoned. He was more worried about the blood that will now fall on the ground. That if the blood touches the ground, what if the punishment of Allah comes? In the battle of Uhud, when they had thrown their rock on his Mubarak blessed face and he had fell to the ground, and then the pegs of that helmet had gone into his temple, and now they needed to pull it out and they needed to put fire there to immediately burn the thing closed. As he was going through that pain, he was more worried of something else. What strength he had. At that moment, while that pain was there, his dua was, oh Allah, forgive my nation, because they don't know. When me and you normally is, if I can't punch, I'll curse. I'll curse you so bad, it will follow you wherever you'll go. The one who becomes strong is able to control. He's able to control when someone said something, he doesn't react. He makes dua. They gave him thorns, he gave them roses. We always speak, that was the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that is our Rasul. Strength. So the strength must come to a level that I can lift up that thing fajr time. If my five times salah can come in order, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, from what we have given them, they're spending. They don't have to spend whatever they got. Allah tabarakallah said, from what they got. Alhamdulillah, to a great extent, I see that happening in your country. People have that ability. They put their hand in the pocket, they take it out. Allah tabarakallah give more and more. That man who gives little in charity will start giving more in charity. Little charity cools the anger of Almighty Allah. Little charity. One person sent one article on my phone. It's a very nice article. It's not a hadith this year, but it's very possible that it happened. That one man had a dream, and in the dream he saw people walking very happy. But there was one old man walking at the back, very sad. So he asked him, what's wrong? He said, we are all the dead. We are all the dead. But all these people in front of me, from their family on life, who are alive, they're benefiting. Their family is giving sadaqah, it's benefiting them. Their family has put up a water well, it's benefiting them. The family is doing something. He said, me, no one is doing anything for me. So I have become very weak, sad. So he said, why don't you have family? So he said, I do have a son, but like good for nothing. So when he woke up now, he's thinking now. He knows that face, he knows that boy. He said, I must go and find where this boy is. So when he reaches her, he finds a very sad boy also. And he says to the boy, how's life? And only complains. Things are very hard. So he says, why don't you take a little bit for your father? Something do for your father. So the boy says, you think I got anything? If I had anything, I would have. It's like one person, he went to the Hakim. Ramzan time, this will help you a lot. Because the people, when you all eat iftar, I look at you all eating, I get full. So one person went to the Hakim, his stomach was paining, full. The burp wasn't even coming out, he had eaten so much. So the Hakim gave him one tablet. He said, this is the one, the Hakim gave him eye ointment. So he said that my stomach is paining. What are you giving me eye ointment for? He says, the amount you ate, it means something is wrong with your eyes. Look next time before you eat. You got a problem. But now when his brother landed up by the Hakim, now he really had a problem. He was full, full. So the Hakim took out a tablet. So that person looked at the Hakim and he said, I always thought you Hakim, your doctors were intelligent. I never found a bigger fool than you. So the doctor looked at him shocked. He said, what did I do? He said, you think in my stomach I got place for the tablet. If I had place, there'll be another samosa there also. Where I want to put your tablet? The world is like that. They full, full, full. And then they said, that little water, can you get it here? Why? Because food is like solid. So where it's like mountains. But if you throw little bit water, it will find its way. So even after that man is full, milkshake will still go. Faluda will go. He said, these are liquids. They'll find it. When you eat, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu taught us a manner to eat. The manner he taught is very hard to understand how you divide. But ulama have mentioned, when you still got a feel for that last morsel, stop. That's the time to stop. When you still got a feel. The reason is because the mind and the stomach takes a while to record. So example, when you break your fast, iftar time, that amount that you eat, your body doesn't need it. But it hasn't yet registered. Because it hasn't registered, the stomach is still saying more, more. But by the time that food does come down, the stomach saying stop, stop, but you have already seen a lot more after that. That is why you'll see if you're eating and a phone call comes. Once you speak on the phone 5 minutes, when you come back, you'll say, I'm not hungry. Because it registered now. Try and do this here. That when you're eating, stop while you still think I'm hungry. If later on you're still hungry, that food is not going nowhere. We got fridges that will keep it for a week. But try this for your health. One of the greatest medicines is do not eat a full stomach. Rasulullah said, the worst container that can ever be filled is this container of the stomach. The worst container. Many of us, when we eat full, then we burp. After we burp, then we put our hand, our stomach, Alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amana. But at that time, it's not to say Alhamdulillah. Allah's Nabi said, you have put the greatest sicknesses in your body at that time. He said, this is the worst container to fill up. Stop just when you got that last desire. Leave that last dessert. And you will see great goodness will come in your health. But why we went on that, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ, that boy said, you think I got anything? If I had anything, I would have spent it on my family. So he said to the boy, give something for your father, something. So in anger, that boy, he was sitting by the water. So he lifted up some water, he said, the only thing I got is here, you want it here, take it. And he went, sir, take some water. So that man was shocked at his attitude and he went away. Then he has a dream. In the dream he sees all those people smiling. He sees the old man smiling also. Very happy the old man is. Very happy. In the dream. So he says to the old man, I tried. Like, the old man said, he thanked him. He said, Allah reward you. Because of you, my son has sent something finally. He said, what did he send? He threw water at me. So in the dream, the old man said, Allah appreciates lot. Even when someone doesn't intend, sometimes Allah grabs that also. He says, my son, when he threw that water, there was one fish dying. As he threw that water, it landed on that fish. That fish needed that last bit of water to give it that strength. With that little water, it got little extra life. And with that strength, it managed to make that jump and it went back in the water. As that fish is swimming in the water, making the dhikr of Allah, I'm benefiting. That water gave life to it, it gave life to me. He says, I'm so happy with my son, I'm now making dua for him also. The dead people can make dua for the living. It comes in the ahadith. When someone passes away, those that passed away ask him, do you know about my family? What you know about them? If they say, we found him on a good path, they become very happy and they say, Allah, keep him on that path. If they say, we found him off the track, they become sad. And then they say, oh Allah, will you bring him back on the track? He at that time made dua for his son. He said, the next time when I met that son, I found him to be a very wealthy person. His water benefited one fish. His water benefited that father. The dua of the father benefited the child. This world can go round in circles because of sadaqah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is sadaqah that extinguishes the anger of Almighty Allah. It is sadaqah. He said, by the qasam of Allah, sadaqah has not ever made anyone's wealth less. By the qasam of Allah, sadaqah has never made wealth less. But to have yaqeen on it, you don't have to give all your money. But whenever you get a chance, give little of your money and Allah will give lot back. Then again you give little and you get lot back and you gain. But never stop. Never ever think, I just gave. Little give, but carry on giving. Two things, may Allah bless us with. One is salah, one is zakat. Zakat means sadaqah, whatever you have to give. From what we have given, they spend. But the main one which the surah Baqarah starts, which we need to work on, it is thing called الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. When three qualities are found in the believers, one is salah, which we are working on a lot. And our madrasa and our maktab teaches how to perform a good salah. One is charity, and in your masjid, alhamdulillah, even if you want to run away from charity, you can't. They'll find you. The one that we are missing, but the first one, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, that group, that nation, that individual who got a very strong iman in the unseen. It is something to work on, this thing. What is iman? The Quran started, you said, I believe in Allah. Have you seen Allah? Did you hear Allah? But Almighty Allah never said only in Allah. He said the entire world of the unseen. This Quran will benefit that person whose mind has been made. That I come out of the lie of seeing is believing. I come out of the lie of experiment and see if it works. And I enter into the truth. The truth is whatever I see is not always the true picture. And whatever is beyond the mountain is the truth. I brought iman on when Rasulullah said, I am standing on a high mountain. I am looking on this side of the mountain which you cannot see. If I say to you an enemy is coming, will you believe me? They all said, you have never spoken a lie, we'll believe you. He said, now I am telling you there's a punishment at your head. I can see it, will you believe me? At that time Abu Lahab said, destruction to you. Why are you talking this rubbish? But me and you will say, we believe you. You have never lied. When we are burying my father, my mother, my brother, I will cry, but in a different manner from others who cry. Others who cry will say, that's the end of him. He was such a good man. I believe in the unseen, I'll say, that's the beginning of him. He was such a good man. When others will say his life has come to an end, I'll say his life is only beginning. If he has gone to the mercy of Allah, he's in paradise. If he has gone to the anger of Allah, he's burning in Jahannam. If he's gone to the mercy of Allah, he doesn't need my cheers. He's smiling lot. If he's gone to the anger of Allah, my tears are not going to benefit him one, but he's burning. I see a different world, so I cry in a different manner. I cry because I'm going to miss the person. But I can't cry because I feel sorry for the person. That person has gone to what a world. One friend of mine, his father passed away. Being an alim, I said to him that you believe in the unseen. You believe that your father was a good man. We knew his father. I said, we have like that hope that your father is enjoying paradise. So I said to him, see, if I go, your father went for Hajj or he went for Umrah. When your father would have phoned home, he would have only asked one question, how's the family? At that time, if they had to say to him, the family is crying and crying and crying for you, then would it have made him happy or would it have made him sad? He would have said to the family that your father is so happy by the house of Allah. Will you please increase in the happiness of your father? That few days make some sabr, I'm coming back soon. So the whole family will say, daddy, for you we won't cry a lot. I said, you being an alim, you believe in that world. When your father is going to ask the next man who passes away, how did you find my sons? That person must say, I found your son happy. It will make your father happy. And if that person has to say, I found your sons devastated, then your father will become sad. So I left that house. That boy met me a few days later. He was smiling. I told him, that smile, I want that smile to stay. Then he said to me, but the problem was, after you left, he said, that same day there was one man who was very, very close to my father. He said, he passed away. He said, when he passed away, I started thinking that my father will definitely ask him. Because they normally go to meet people of the area who pass away. Comes in the narrations, they come to receive them. He said, definitely my father is going to ask him, how you found my son? And he is definitely going to say, very sad. So he said, now I'm looking for someone who's on the verge of dying. Just to go to him and smile, and he can tell my father it's okay. But that is called iman in the unseen. I cry in a different manner, others cry. The people who believe in the unseen, when they're laughing, they can take out a tear. When they're crying, they can take out a smile. It is only the people who believe in the unseen. Where there is matam, someone passed away, you'll see the tear also, you'll see a smile also. The tear is, I'm going to miss him. The smile is, Allah is looking after him. Iman bil ghaib. Iman bil ghaib is, when I'm giving charity, I see it grow. When I'm taking interest, I see it destroyed. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ The entire world is going to tell one story. It is called the shaitani lie. وَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا Let this world not betray you, capture you, deceive you. Who won't it catch? It will catch that man who believes in another system. When I make salam, I see the angel. So much yaqeen I have. I see it. May Allah tabarak ta'ala bring us every day my iman in the unseen must increase. Every day. Allah tabarak ta'ala bless us. When Ali radiallahu anh said a statement, it was a mi'yar. He put a marker, he said, try to reach. He said, we have so much on conviction on the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was what sahaba meant. He said, so much conviction. That now if the veil between me and the unseen is lifted also, it will not increase my conviction in the least, but I will see it and I say, I believed in you as though I saw you. It is called Aynul Yaqeen, Haqqul Yaqeen. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala bless us. Increase in our salah, increase in our charity, and in the month of Ramadan, make dua for increase in our belief in the unseen. This will open up the door and then Quran will become our real guide. May Allah Tabarak Ta'ala give it to all of us.